Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are at the end of Epiphany. We are going to start Lent. We're going to have these interesting things that I never experienced before I moved here called punchkis. Am I saying it right? Have you experienced those? Yes. Didn't know what they were before I moved here. This is a Michigan, or it's a Polish thing actually, but a Michigan thing. So, we're going to have those on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, we're going to have Ash Wednesday, and then we're going to go into a season of preparation. We've had many prophetic words, and one of the words that has kept coming up is prepare. And so I've been praying, Lord, you know, what is it that you want us to prepare for? So during this season of Lent, we're going to have, every second week, we're going to have a midweek service, and throughout on the Sundays, we're going to be looking at what is it that the Lord is preparing us for? What does he want us to prepare? How does he want us to grow? What is he, in the prophecies we receive from Sarah and other people, you know, it seems like God wants us to prepare. So the question is, and I pray that you take the days, we're going to, on Ash Wednesday, we'll be handing out a devotion. And during the devotions, we're going to be asking the question, what does God want us to prepare in us as individuals? And what does he want us as a body to prepare for? What is he out there doing that he wants to prepare for? But today we get to close off this series called Called and Chosen. And I look back and, you know, almost every year during Epiphany, I either talk about being called or talk about being chosen. And I think it's because at this time of the year, when the clouds are plenty and the days of sunshine are few, a lot of us need to be reminded that we are called and chosen. As Don shared during our quiet time, how, you know, God wants to gather us. He wants to call us and gather us. He wants to let us know that he's there with us, even when we don't feel like he's there with us. He's there with us. We're in his presence. And it's interesting because as the disciples are, as Peter, James, and John are invited to come up onto the mountain with Jesus, I think they probably expect there's going to be one of these long prayer sessions. We're awfully hard on the disciples sometimes, especially on Monday, Thursday, when Jesus goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane and prays, and he comes back to them and says, you know, can't you guys stay up for a little bit? And I always think we're kind of hard on them, because I think they had a few experiences with Jesus where he said, you come with me, and then he went up on the mountain to pray. But we know from Scripture that when he prayed, he spent a lot of time in prayer. He's kind of like Martin Luther. Martin Luther used to say, I wake up earlier if I'm going to have a busy day so I can pray more. And we know Jesus had a lot of time, spent a lot of time with the Father, spent a lot of time in prayer. Sometimes he let the disciples go away and he would just go by himself, and it said he would return in the wee hours of the morning. So we know he spent a lot of time in prayer. So I think these three disciples thought, okay, here we go again. Going up on the mountain, going to experience Jesus praying. It's going to be a long prayer session. And they get the experience of their life, at least to this point. Because what happens when they go up on the mountain? What does the Bible say? The Epiphany season means Jesus revealing himself to us. Today we get to see the transfiguration. That's a nice picture, isn't it? It is Peter, James, and John down here at the bottom. Jesus in the middle with Moses. You know who Moses is? Which one is Moses? One with the tablets, right? It's a giveaway. There's Moses. And the other one is Elijah. I kind of covered him up with the red tag there. Sorry. But Elijah is... Why Moses and Elijah are so important to this is because when he goes up, it says, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as lightning, light. And this is interesting because we, in our modern day, we can have a lot of things that are kind of white, you know? Some of you are wearing white. Well, in these days, that was unusual. To have white, we have bleach, we have things that we use to get things white. Well, that was not something that was a regular thing. And so for him to be transfigured before them and for his face to shine like the sun. How many of you like looking into the sun? I would like to see it more often, but you know, nice to look into the sun, right? His face shone like the sun and his clothes became white as light. That means that his actual clothes, Not just his body, but his clothes were changed. Everything was changed about him. That had to be something amazing to see, right? Nowadays, you know, with special effects and stuff, we may not think of it as being that profound, but for them, this is an experience of a lifetime. They had never seen anything like this before. And then, to top it all off, the icing on the cake was, and behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Now, if you grew up in a Hebrew home, Moses is the law, okay? He's the lawgiver. He's the one who received the law. He's the one who gave the law. And so he is the if you were to define the first five books of the Bible, we use the word Torah, we use the word Pentateuch, but they're the books of Moses. For the faithful people of Israel, this was their Bible, the first five books of the Bible. And then if you were a Pharisee, you took the rest of the Bible, which we look at as the Old Testament, and you took that Old Testament, and it was the law and the prophets. And who was the epitome of a prophet? Elijah. The other significance about Moses and Elijah here is what happened to Moses. Yes, exactly. Moses was buried by God. The other person that could have showed up here that'd be kind of significant is Enoch. A lot of people wrote about Enoch because Enoch walked with God. It doesn't say that he died. It says he walked with God. He lived a long time. We don't know how his life ended. And we don't know about Elijah. Why? He was taken up before Elijah's eyes in a chariot of fire. So for that reason, in intertestamental period, there's a lot written about Moses, a lot written about Elijah, there's a lot written about Enoch because there was a mystery to them. Because nobody was there to see their burial. Right? There was no one to see them die. And so there was a mystery surrounding them. And so if you were a young boy growing up in a Hebrew home and you thought, if I'm going to see something one day when I get to heaven, it's going to be I'm going to get to see Moses, I'm going to get to see Elijah. I'm going to see everybody else, but I'm definitely going to get to see Abraham and Moses and Elijah. I'm going to see them. That's going to be, for me, the experience, right? I got questions for them. How many of us want to get to heaven so we can ask Jesus questions? Yeah. Well, if you were growing up in a Hebrew home, you wanted to get there so you could ask Moses, what did happen with that calf that Aaron said just he threw some gold into the fire and just showed up? Tell us about that. You know, you want to find these experiences. You want to get there and find Moses and Elijah. So these for the people of Israel, this would have been something fantastic. So let's not be too hard on Peter when he says something that seems kind of foolish to us because we know the end of the story, but he says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. It's good that we're here. How many of us have ever had a mountaintop experience? Today we have Winter Jam happening at Eastern here. And I remember when I was young, before I lost half my hearing from being at these things, but I used to go to concerts. I didn't want them to end. Have you went to a concert and you just have such a great time? Your ears are already numb, so you can't hardly, you know, I mean, the whole thing is kind of you're in it. And you go, I don't want to leave. This is awesome. And you're just wanting encore after encore after encore, right? How many, none of you have the experience? Well, I feel sad for you. You may have your hearing, but so what? You know? I mean, those type of experiences, mountaintop experiences, you don't want them to end because they're exciting. And so let's not be too hard on Peter because he's in the very presence of the one whom he's just said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus, who he knows is the promised Messiah. He gets to see him basically turned inside out, gets to see his true nature transfigured before him. And the icing on the cake, the cherry on the sundae is he gets to see Moses and Elijah. And he says, Lord, it's great that we're here. Let's build a tent. Hey, even better, let's build three. One for you, one for Moses and Elijah. Then that way, if you want to stay longer, you got some privacy. Right? Well, not one hotel room, we'll build you three. Because what does he want? He wants to stay there. Wouldn't you? Have you ever been in a worship service where you just don't want to leave? Even though you're hungry and the food smells great, You just don't want to leave because you're experiencing the presence of the Almighty God of the universe and you just want to stay there. We wanted to stay there. And while he was still speaking, this Peter, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Have you heard those words before? Where did we hear them before? Baptism. It's interesting because Peter, in his second letter, we heard Karen read that to us, right? We heard her read that, and it's funny because Peter, in that letter, only uses those words. But yet all of the gospel accounts of the transfiguration use these next three words and add them. What are the next three words? Listen to him. It's funny because for some reason, maybe Peter doesn't think those are significant at this point because of the resurrection happening and everything. You know, he figures most people are listening to him. But at this point in the gospel lesson, it's significant. Because the voice says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," just like he did at the baptism. And he adds this, "Listen to him." Think that's significant? I think it's significant. Because what they're heading down the mountain to experience, and in Luke's gospel, we're going to probably look at it next year, in Luke's gospel account of the transfiguration, it actually says that Moses and Elijah are talking to him about his exodus that's going to take place in Jerusalem. They're talking to him about his crucifixion. They're encouraging him to go down this mountain because as soon as he goes down the mountain, what's happening? Just like we're starting Lent this week, what's happening? He's starting his journey to the cross. Pardon me? Yes, he's heading to the cross. And so he's being encouraged by Moses and Elijah. He's been encouraged to fulfill what they had prophesied, to fulfill what was written about him. He was going to be the one who Moses wrote about in Genesis chapter 3. He's going to be the one that Elijah prophesied about. He's going to be the one that the prophets have foretold. He's going to do everything that he was supposed to do. And he's being encouraged by them. Moses and Elijah encouraging him. And so Peter, when the disciples hear this word, these words from God, as they're overshadowed, or the word here is actually the word enveloped. You ever felt enveloped? You know, we get a word for a word that we use in English, an envelope. Enveloped, right? Totally, totally surrounded. Somebody who's claustrophobic like me does not sound fun. They're totally enveloped by this cloud. And no one misses this. They're totally overshadowed. They're totally surrounded. They're totally in the midst of this cloud. And the voice, just like we heard in the Old Testament lesson, the voice that spoke to Moses when Moses was up on the top of the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, the same voice says, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. Why were they terrified? They just met God. Yeah. Pardon me? It's outside the norm. Yeah, definitely. What else? We just had this confirmation retreat this week, and it was fun. Got to go swimming on Friday and play games, and then got to really delve into the whole idea of confession and absolution and what it means. And one of the interesting things is I think that maybe those three words at the end of that phrase from God really terrified them because maybe they weren't. Maybe they weren't. Weren't what? Maybe they weren't listening. Maybe they were doing what Peter was doing. They were talking instead of listening. Maybe this was like the voice of the principal. And if you have a principal that had a deep voice, I'm sorry if you had a female principal. I didn't mean it that way. But I had male principals for the most part of my life, and I had a principal who had this interesting voice. His name was Mr. French. When Mr. French would talk, you would listen. He had one of those voices that just sounded like the voice of God. You know what I mean by the voice of God? It just draws your attention. You know when he's talking, you better listen. He didn't have to say anything. He just had to look in your direction, and you just knew. And when he talked, it was even worse. And so I have to think that when they were in the cloud, not only were they impressed and fearful because of the experience of being in the presence of God, but I think maybe they weren't listening. Peter got called Satan because he wasn't listening. Get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. So here we go. This is my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The disciples heard this. They fell on their faces and were terrified. But this is the good news. Because shouldn't we be terrified by our sin? Shouldn't we be convicted and want to confess those sins that indict us, the sins that we recognize are our fault when we miss the mark? But here's the good news. This is the gospel. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. Isn't that amazing? Rise and have no fear. That's what Jesus says to us when we get into situations where we feel like we just blew it. And we feel like we've just missed the mark so bad. When we feel like we have just, you know, we aren't thinking of ourselves as called and chosen children of the living God, but we're thinking of ourselves more like, man, how could I have done this? How could I do this? I know better than this. And Jesus comes to us in our terror, in our conviction, in our recognizing our sin. And he touches us. He says, rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. How many of us would have liked to be there? Yeah, I would. And you know, it's funny because Don said something earlier that I wanted to emphasize, and I think he did a great job. He said, this, they got to see the transfigured Jesus, but that's nothing compared to the risen Jesus. Isn't that awesome? And we get to experience the risen Jesus. When we gather together, Matthew 18 says, when two or more are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Jesus is here. His Holy Spirit is here. We got to experience him today. In his word, in his sacrament, we got to experience the very presence of his wonderful spirit here present with us. Jesus says, this is my body, this is my blood. It's not, it represents my body or it's symbolic of my body. No, it is my body. It is my blood. We as Lutherans don't try to come up with an explanation of this. We simply say, das ist. We don't understand it. It's a mystery. It's called, a sacrament. It's a mystery. We don't understand it. But we believe that Jesus is in with and under the bread and the wine. We don't understand it, but we believe it. So we are in the very presence of God, in his presence. And you know what? He doesn't want us to stay here. He doesn't want us to stay here. He wants us to leave, and unlike what he said to the disciples, and this is again a contextual thing, this is not an anti-Great Commission, because this is the way we act sometimes in the church, don't we? We kind of like this phrase that Jesus said instead of the one he said at the end of Matthew, where he said, I'm calling you to be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, and you know, you're going to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything. We like this better. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, tell no one the vision. Tell no one. Keep it to yourself. Just bask in it. Just enjoy it. Just think about it. Just keep going back to that special place. And if they weren't listening, they might have not heard what he said next. Because this is the important thing. Until the Son of Man is what? Raised from the dead. See, they got to experience the transfigured Lord. We get to experience the risen Lord. The risen Lord, who appeared to his disciples 40 days, who ascended to the right hand of God, and now has sent his Holy Spirit at Pentecost, so that we can not only experience his presence, but we can have his presence each and every day as we live out our lives. Isn't that awesome? For us, the transfiguration is an everyday experience as we bask in his presence. I love that. Because it was only tell no one until he rose from the dead. But after he rose from the dead, we're supposed to tell everyone. So what are we doing? Are we basking in his presence, enjoying the fact that we can gather here together and celebrate and worship together? Or are we doing what he said? Are we just keeping that first part of it? Tell no one? Are we telling everyone? I don't know about you, but I want everyone to experience this. I want everyone to experience the amazing gift of seeing Jesus for who he is. For seeing the whole nature of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, to see Jesus as the Son of God who dies for our sins, who rose again, who wants desperately to be in relationship with us, and who wants to give us the power to live as his people each and every day. That's the amazing gift of the Transfiguration, is that what those three got to see, we get to experience it even more. Because we're resurrection people, aren't we? We're resurrection people. So may you depart today knowing that you are children of the living God. You are the same as we talked about at the baptism of our Lord Sunday at the beginning of the Epiphany season. We are the ones to whom God speaks. He says, you are my beloved children with whom I am well pleased. And then he says, listen, because I have great plans for you. May that be for you God's gift, that you leave here, not only experience his presence here, but taking him with you all the time. Amen.